The study this month has been on because of the resurrection. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We're in the resurrection month, and tonight's message is because of the resurrection, I am saved. Say it with me, because of the resurrection, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go back some thousands of years to the Garden of Eden. When God created man, he put him in a beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden represented the presence of God, for God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Genesis 3, verse 8. And God commanded the man not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said to him, Adam, you can eat of any fruit of any tree in the garden except of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So lo and behold, in Genesis chapter 3, who comes to the woman? The serpent. And he says this in Genesis 3:1. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Genesis 3:4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So the serpent tempted the woman to eat of that forbidden fruit. She ate of it. She gave some to her husband. And at that point, what entered the world? Sin entered the world. And that sin nature has been passed down from our forefathers, Adam and Eve. It's been passed all the way down to us. But Jesus Christ, the last Adam, was born as a babe in a manger over 2,000 years ago. And at age 30, he began his ministry. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Jesus did good when he walked this earth. At age 33, his enemies, the Jews, wanted him dead. And the Romans carried out the most cruel form of death on Jesus, crucifixion on a cross. But Jesus was stronger than death. Death could not hold him down. He rose from the dead and defeated eternal death for all who have faith in him. That's good news here tonight, isn't it? We'll say it again. Death could not hold him down. He was stronger than death. He defeated eternal death for you and for me who have faith in him. Amen? You know, the resurrection of Christ from the dead is what distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. I'm going to read something from the speaker's quote book, and it says this. Ralph Turnbull says this. A Muslim said to a Christian, we Muslims have one thing you Christians do not have. When we go to Medina, we find a coffin and know that Muhammad lived because his body is in it. But when you Christians go to Jerusalem, you find nothing but an empty tomb. Thank you, replied the Christian. What you say is absolutely true, and that makes the eternal difference. The reason we find an empty tomb is because we serve a risen Christ. Isn't that awesome? The distinguishing mark of Christianity amongst all other world religions is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Muhammad died and he's in a grave. Buddha died and he's in a grave. Leaders of other religions have died and they're still in the grave. Jesus died a cruel death on a cross over 2,000 years ago, but 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Amen? It's what distinguishes us as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, from all other religions. By faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? You can also escape eternal death. You can be saved. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 12 through 18. Paul writes this to the Corinthians. Concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was some in Corinth that were saying that the resurrection was not for real. That there is no such thing as the resurrection. And so Paul refutes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 15. Then those who also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Here's the good news. Christ, by his resurrection, can save us in two different ways. Has saved us in two different ways. Christ, by his resurrection from the dead 2,000 years ago, has saved us in two different ways. If you have a living faith in Christ, then you are being saved, rescued from the grip of sin. If you have a living faith, a living relationship with Jesus Christ in the here and the now, you are being rescued and saved from the chokehold of sin. Look what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 17. He says this, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But the opposite is true. If Christ has been raised, then what? The grip of sin is being broken over your life. Is that good news here tonight? And maybe right now, tonight, you're dealing with the grip of sin over your life. Maybe you're dealing with addiction in your life, addiction to cigarettes. Maybe you're dealing with addiction to drugs, addiction to alcohol. Maybe you're dealing with an addiction of looking at something with your eyes that you should not be looking at. Maybe you're dealing with the grip of addiction and sin over your life at the present moment. Perhaps it's the grip of bitterness and unforgiveness that is choking you right now. And you might be wondering, why is it? Why is it that I'm dealing with this grip of sin, this chokehold, this stranglehold of sin over my life? The addictions, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, so forth and so on. Could it be that your faith in Christ maybe has weakened? Maybe you've slipped away from your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe at one point in the past, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that sin, that grip of sin, was broken off your life. It got weaker and weaker. But maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with somebody, and maybe that sin has tried to creep back into your life. Tonight, that chokehold of sin can be broken by recommitting your life to Jesus Christ. The stranglehold, the chokehold of sin, the grip of sin tonight can be broken off of your life by recommitting, by re-giving your life back to Jesus Christ. Jesus saves us. He rescues us from the grip of sin by his resurrection and by our faith in him. Say it with me. Christ, by his resurrection, can save me from the grip of sin. He can rescue me from the chokehold of sin over my life. In Jesus' name. You know, the other way that the resurrection of Christ can save you is from eternal death. If you have a living faith in Christ, then you have been saved from eternal death. Look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 18 to repeat it. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead. But if Christ has been raised from the dead, which we believe and we know in our hearts to be for sure, if Christ was resurrected from the dead and we have faith in Christ, you've got a living faith in Christ, then what? Guess what? You're not lost. You have been rescued from eternal damnation. You have been saved from eternal death. Christ, by his resurrection over 2,000 years ago, and our faith in him has saved us from eternal death. Amen. Guess what? At the point that you accepted Jesus as your Savior, eternal life began for you at that point here on this earth. Amen. 1 John 5:12 says it plainly. 1 John 5:12. And this is what he writes. Let me say this. Maybe you accepted Christ a week ago. Maybe you accepted Christ a month ago. Maybe you accepted Jesus Christ a year ago as Savior. Maybe you put your faith in him at that point. And at the point that you put faith in Jesus as your Savior is when eternal life began for you. And this eternal life that began for you on this earth will continue on in heaven when you die and leave your body. Isn't that awesome? John writes in 1 John 5, verse 12. He says this, "He who has the Son has life." This word life is Zoe. Zoe is the God kind of life. He who has the Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, has the Zoe life of God. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So if you've got Jesus Christ in your life, guess what? You've got the Zoe life of God in you. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Zoe life of God entered your spirit and brought that dead spirit back to life. Is that good news here tonight? Eternal life began for you the day that you accepted Jesus and will continue on for you the day that you enter heaven after leaving this earth. That's awesome, isn't it? But maybe tonight you're not sure that your life is right with Christ right now. Maybe you've slipped away in your walk with Christ. Your spirit, your human spirit, the Holy Spirit can speak to your human spirit and let you know if you're slipped away from Christ. If you're not exactly sure on the inside that your life is right with Christ, maybe tonight you need to recommit your life to him. God will speak to you by his Holy Spirit. If on the inside you're feeling spiritually dead, that might mean that you have slipped away from Jesus, that your faith in Jesus has weakened. And you don't want to die in that state. I don't want to die in that state. We don't want to die in that state. We want to die in a state where our faith in Christ is alive and well. And so tonight you'll have the opportunity to recommit your life to Jesus Christ if you're not absolutely sure that you have this eternal life. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that heaven is awesome. You don't want to miss it for anything. There is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There is no more suffering. There is no more worry. There is no more loss. There is bliss forevermore with God and Jesus in heaven. It is awesome. It is perfection. It never ends. I want to go there one day. How about you? You don't want to miss it for anything. Heaven is awesome. And if you're not quite sure that you're going to heaven one day, because maybe you've never accepted Christ or maybe you slipped away from Christ, you need to re-give your life back to him tonight. Amen? Amen. So say it with me. Because of the resurrection, Jesus Christ, by my faith in him, has saved me, has rescued me from eternal damnation and hell. In Jesus' name. So Jesus, on the day that you accepted him as, you put your faith in him, he became your Savior. But Jesus wants to be more than just Savior. Jesus also wants to be your Lord. When I say the word Lord, what comes to your mind? When I say the word Lord, what comes to your mind? King? Okay, ruler. That's right. Lord means ruler. The one in full charge. It means commander in chief. See, the day that you put your faith in Jesus, he became your Savior. He saved you from the grip of sin. He saved you from eternal death. But while you live on this earth for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years, he also wants to be your Lord. He wants to be the commander in chief of every part of your life. Say it with me. Jesus wants to be commander in chief of every part of my life. You know, if you have an employer, for whatever hours you work for him in a day, that employer is in control of those hours. You do whatever work tasks he assigns you. Would you agree? So if you work for somebody 2 hours a day or 4 hours a day or 8 hours a day, guess what? that person, that employer is in control of your hours. Whatever he asks you to do, you do it. Guess what? Jesus wants to be the big boss over every area of your life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me say it again. Jesus wants to be the big boss over your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Look at your life as like an automobile. Who has the steering wheel of your life right now? Is it you? Guess what? If it's you, really, Jesus wants the steering wheel of your life. You know, tonight, Jesus is wanting you to slip over into the passenger seat, and he wants to take the steering wheel of your life. He wants you to submit your life to his lordship. He wants you to surrender your life to God the Father. Amen? Amen. Jesus wants the steering wheel of your life. Say it tonight. Jesus wants the steering wheel of my life. And tonight, I give him full control of every part of my life. You know, if you're doing your own thing, if your mindset is this, you know what, this is my life, I do with my life what I want to do with it, guess what? You're in control of your life. You've got the steering wheel of your life. If you're telling God, God, this is my life, don't interfere. I do with my life what I want to do with it, guess what? You're not surrendered to God. You haven't submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And a person who thinks that way is acting in pride. And what does it say in James 4:6? That God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. If you're doing your own thing whenever you want and treating people however you want, guess what? You might be acting in pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you're doing your own thing and telling God, God, get out of my life. I want to do with my life what I want to do with it. Guess what? He's not obligated to anybody. He's not obligated to bless anybody who's living that way. You know, if you're doing your own thing in your life, pretty much you're living in rebellion to God. And as I said it before, God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to him. He's not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to the lordship of his son, Jesus Christ. So do you need a financial miracle tonight? Do you need an emotional miracle tonight? Do you need a relational miracle tonight? Do you need a miracle in some part of your life? Do you need a blessing in some area of your life tonight? Guess what? It all begins with submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. The thing that you need most begins with surrendering your life to the will of God, like the brother in the back just spoke about earlier during testimony time. God wants to be in control over every part of you. You know, he wants to be in control over your spirit by having his son, Jesus Christ, seated on the throne of your heart. You know, Jesus wants to be in control of the words that come out of your mouth. What kind of words come out of your mouth? Are they Christ-like words, pure words, or are they words of the world? If Jesus is your Lord, your words will be pure. They will be according to the Scripture. In your mind, do you think like the world, or are you submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ with your mind? How does the world think? The world thinks, hey, you know what? If somebody does me wrong, I retaliate. I get even. I get revenge. That's the world's way of thinking. But if you're submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, guess what? You'll do what the word says. You'll start forgiving your offenders. He wants to be the Lord over your mind, the Lord over your mouth, what you say with your words. He wants to be the Lord over what you do with your body. Are you looking at things that are impure? Are you sleeping with somebody who is not your spouse? If so, then you're acting like the world. But if Jesus is your Lord, you'll be doing with your body what is holy and pure, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that making sense here tonight? Making Jesus Lord, ruler, commander in chief over every part of your existence. Amen? So you got to think about it tonight. Who is in control of your life? Is it you? Who's got the steering wheel of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? Because of his resurrection over 2,000 years ago, he has saved us. He has rescued us from the grip of sin. He has saved us from eternal death. And he wants to be your Lord, the one in full charge over every part of your existence. Amen?